News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings. It's more cloudy than rainy this morning, though the rain is going to get here. There's going to be two different fronts that end up on top of us. One from Mississippi that's going to be is a slow mover. Then I guess it's Friday night when we have something that's going to kind of blow on through, hopefully after the Conde Cavaliers march downtown and parade downtown. And hopefully after that, we'll have that, which could be more of a storm system than what we're getting first along here this week, Wednesday through part of Friday.
Yeah, if we do get any severe weather, and there's less of a chance of that happening than the last two times that major systems rolled through over these last couple of weeks, if we do get anything severe, it'll come in Friday night into Saturday morning.
Right.
So, yeah, hopefully after that parade, and it'll set the day for another evening of parades on Saturday.
Saturday got parades, too. So downtown parades have begun, and then it'll be Thursday of the next week, and we'll start to almost ramp up nearly nightly.
Yeah. And by the way, if you miss any Moon Pie Minutes, which again, Steve McNair doing a great job carrying the torch left by Rennie Brabner.
Yes.
Moon Pie Minutes, we put each day's up on our website, fmtalk1065.com, so you can listen to them chronologically, or if you missed a day here or there, go back and find it and listen to it, and that'll go all the way through the parading season. So until this ends on Ash Wednesday, you can go to the website and listen to every single one. Traffic update, this texter says wreck near exit 44 in Loxley, traffic backed up. So I'm not sure if that's east or west, but wreck near exit 44, traffic backed up. We'll get you more information on that as we move along. I thought Sean yesterday had a really good show on Midday Mobile. He had a couple different guests, actually had three guests, but one of them is Yaffe, so he's a usual. But he had Judge Wesley Pipes, who is a presiding judge here in Mobile County with the 13th Judicial Circuit Court. And Judge has been in the news a lot recently based on how he's treating some charges that we're seeing for people that are showing up in front of him there downtown. Now, he also talked with Chris Curry later in the show, the president of the Mobile Airport Authority. And we'll get to some of that audio later, what Curry had to say about the new provider that's coming in, Breeze Airways.
And I guess that's only going to come in once the new airport is open, right? That's
well, they're going to start in April. So it'll be like we saw here previously. So we'll get into that coming up. But Sean talked with an hour for Judge Pipes. And most recently, the judge has been in the news because he is not allowing certain people to post bond, at least immediately. He has eliminated preset or automatic bonds for certain charges. And the latest order, which he just issued on Friday, removes preset bonds for attempting to elude. And yesterday, Judge Pipes talked a bit about the different types of elude that could come, like different ways that people could try to get away from police and how one may be considered more dangerous than other different types. Here's Pipes yesterday.
Attempting to elude comes in many different forms.
Okay.
It can be anything from an officer going to make arrest and someone takes off on foot or tries to take off on foot. In my experience, most people who attempt to take off on foot are caught almost immediately. That's not a very dangerous situation, but attempting to elude using a motor vehicle, using a car or truck or a motorcycle, can be an extremely dangerous situation. We essentially just removed any preset bond for people attempting to elude when a motor vehicle, and it doesn't matter what kind, was used.
So the way the system is set up, there's preset bond amounts, right? And if you get hit with this charge, then you're probably going to have to pay this bond. Then you can get out and come back for your next court date. That's how things usually work.
Right.
But, you know, having everything preset doesn't always work well. As Pipes was explaining there, you might have somebody who police already have their hands around their wrist and they try to kind of move away or something, and they don't even, you know, run. They're just caught within the next foot that they move. That would be a little different story than someone who is on I-10 who starts driving 140 miles an hour on the wrong side of the interstate. Mm-hmm. You can see how they could classify those as being a bit different.
Makes sense, yeah.
Now anyone who attempts to elude will have to go before a judge to determine that bond amount instead of having that preset bond. And Pipes explained what happened after they when they finally do get to see a judge.
They're going to sit in jail. They're going to go in front of a judge within 72 hours. He or she is going to hear about the circumstances that caused their arrest, and then they're going to set a bond. If they're entitled to a bond at all, they're going to set a bond in an appropriate amount with the appropriate conditions.
And I think that law enforcement appreciates what Pipes has been doing here recently, using what power he has to hopefully keep the streets cleaner for at least a little bit longer. Now, this is for attempt to elude. Back in April, or maybe after April of last year, Pipes had eliminated these bonds for crimes where people are accused of firing a gun, so shooting into a car or a building, which we may see some new laws passed this coming legislative session regarding what kind of felony charges people face for firing into an occupied or unoccupied building or vehicle. But what Pipes is doing seems to be helping. At least that's what law enforcement believes. He also talked about Anaya's Law, which, remember, last year, State Representative Chip Brown, he brought that, he pre-filed that bill in the legislature. Then he got it all the way across. And that's already being used as a tool to keep the more dangerous criminals in jail for longer, especially if they've been indicated in a violent crime. And so Anaya's Law, it's been used a lot. And actually, Pipes talked about this yesterday. This comes before an upcoming hearing regarding three of the people who were arrested in the connection of the death of 9-year-old Kaylee Knight, because they have Anaya's Law hearings on the way to see whether they should be kept in jail. But here's Pipes yesterday talking about the use of Anaya's Law.
Yes, so Anaya's Law was passed in 2022, and currently in Mobile County, it's my understanding that we have 9 people being held at Metro Jail without bond because they had Anaya's Law hearings, and the determination was made by a district judge that they were not entitled to bond pursuant to the terms of that law. There are about 12 or 14 crimes, I can't remember which, that if you are arrested for one of those crimes, then the state has the option of asking or moving to prevent you from getting a bond. Our district attorney, Keith Blackwood, has done an excellent job with, you know, how he uses his resources and what he does. And I think he's been pretty smart about using Anaya's Law, or when he seeks to use Anaya's Law.
So it's interesting. You know, you've got, you could, if you could, you would want to prevent any crime, right? And a lot of that is what we talk about when we say it would be generational. You're talking about a culture change to reduce some of the crime, to prevent that crime. After that, all you have is response. And we know that on the actual policing of the streets, Mobile police have been using that shot spotter technology and several other things in their arsenal that would get them to the scene more quickly, or maybe shot spotter cameras or what have you, or maybe more patrols would prevent something from happening if someone saw that camera there or saw a police officer drive by.
Maybe, yeah.
And then the only other option is to change things as much as you can within the courts. And there's already set state and federal laws. So there's certain things that the judges can't do. And right. and a lot of that is when they let these violent criminals out of jail, or when they do something that you're just scratching your head like, how could a judge rule that?
Why is he or she on the streets at all?
And that's just the
law.
Their hands are tied. So you see here, Pipes is kind of working from within the framework he's been given, right? And as far as delaying bond hearings and using Anaya's Law. But it was a great hour. He really had a lot to say, and I thought it was really interesting yesterday.
You know, you got a couple things. You have what Pipes is doing, what Keith Blackwood is doing too, using Anaya's Law to their best benefit, to the benefit of all of us, really, right, when it comes down to it, because they're trying to keep us safe. And then you've got the larger picture. As it turns out, the guy that pulled an iPhone on the girl who was jogging in Foley was released. Of course, we have now that I'm going to jack us up to 30,000 feet above all this, right? And you've got the Department of Justice, I guess, since 2014 has been after the state of Alabama to get the prisons right.
Right.
Overcrowding, crime within the prisons, terrible conditions, many citizens aren't sympathetic to those charges anyway because they're in prison.
Right.
So it's not politically a politically wise thing to get all behind prison reform. We got two prisons being built now, and we're still probably going to be right near the threshold anyway. So you say throw them in jail or put them in prison. Well, where, you know, that's
where?
Easier, yeah, easier said than done. You've got AL.com been doing this series of stories about a lack of, I guess, sympathy by pardons and paroles. Mm-hmm. You know, this is what you've gone on a rant on this in the past recently, talking about these people who have committed violent crimes. Maybe it was 40 years ago, whatever, but you're like, hey, well, how about the people that suffered that crime? How about the family? You know, where's the story on them?
Yeah, you see that a lot from the media, usually the left media.
Yeah, yeah. AL.com's part of that.
All these sympathy for people on death row,
yeah.
And may mention, as a side note, what they were possibly charged
with.
But I've seen plenty of stories in the past where they just don't even mention the initial crime that placed that person on death row.
And now you had, was it a year and a half ago or so, 400 prisoners were let out early because of the problem with the overcrowding, and among them
with COVID,
and COVID, and among them was the guy in Foley, and I know, I'm sure others as well. Those headlines are not splattered across AL.com about people who were released early and committed crimes again, over again.
Yeah.
And I don't know what those numbers are, but there's been a police death, I think, from the people that were released.
There was, yeah.
That was up in northern Alabama. You have this crime. You have many more. One last thing. Are the police not just so tired of certain operators out there on the streets?
Who keep coming back?
Keep coming back.
Yeah.
And, like, I arrested this guy 3 months ago,
mm-hmm.
or
sometimes it's not even that. It's like days later.
You can almost predict that this guy or this gal is going to do something when they're released, and it's just got to be kind of tiring. And I would also say it can take some of the wind out of the sail of policing if you're being criticized and you're thinking, wait a minute now, I wouldn't be in any way, shape, or form even close to this person. There would be no conflict. But they've committed a crime again.
Exactly, yeah. And as far as the early release, so you're talking about that suspect in the Foley stabbing.
Yeah.
40 years old, Bernard Abney. He was let out in January of 2023 for the early release
program. Last year, one year ago.
And so you talked about pardons and paroles. I mean, they're catching it from both sides.
Yeah.
You got the AL.com saying, how can you treat prisoners this way?
Right.
How come you never parole anyone?
Mm-hmm.
But then you've got people who are saying, what the heck are you doing releasing this violent person into the streets so that he can stab someone?
If you're in prison, that's a bad place to be, and you've done something very bad to be. That the fact that you're there tells exactly, you know, I you know, people maybe can get it together, but a lot of these people were in for real reasons. 400 let out. What were the chances that there was going to be no ripple effect from that?
And it wasn't a lot of low-level pot smokers like people like to think.
No.
Just let out the weed smokers and everything will be fine.
Weed smokers aren't in prison.
No, generally not, despite popular belief. So Cam Ward, the director of Pardons and Paroles, he's telling a bit of a different story. He said that after Abney was released last year in the early release program, that he was then quickly rearrested in February, so less than a month later, for not registering as a sex offender.
I remember that hearing that.
And Ward said he was recaptured because of the monitoring system being used for the early release inmates. I think it's that ankle monitor that Ward has talked about so often over the last year.
Okay.
And so he was put back behind bars until the end of his original sentence, which was July of last year. So he was sentenced to 20 years. This was in 2005, but his end of sentence date was in 2023, and Ward said that was a decision made by the Alabama Department of Corrections. So why he had a two-year shorter sentence than what he was sentenced to, we don't have any answers, but Ward says that he was put back in jail until the end of his sentence, regardless.
Okay. It's a terrible story one way or the other, for sure, for that young lady minding her own business and trying to get a little jog in downtown Foley, where you would never expect anything like that to happen.
No.
821 FM Talk 106.5, Dan and Dalton in Mobile Mornings.
Yeah, had a little primary election last night in New Hampshire. Apparently a lot of Democrats turned out for Nikki Haley.
Evidently.
And CNN figured it out. I'll play some of that audio on the way.
I'm coming over. Working in country music that I did for years and years, Nashville likes to kind of keep things buttoned up. If anybody gets in a little trouble up there, it's almost like they have fixers, you know, like, get that. That doesn't want to get out, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, Chris Young, this is Chris right here. Been in our studio a few times back in the old days of country music and was a really good singer. But anyway, he and his buddies got a little beveraged up, and the ABC board came in, and they were kind of checking everybody's IDs. And the next thing you know, Chris Young is out of control. And
said he was at the Tin Roof.
Yeah, that's where it started. Roof, and then it went to a bar next door, and he ended up getting rowdy and objectionable and finally arrested. He's 38, so he wasn't doing anything wrong, but he was just being a clown, I think.
Yeah, a lot of country stars over the years have been arrested in downtown Nashville.
I'll bet.
I can't remember if that was a show in Nashville when Kenny Chesney and Tim McGraw got arrested for stealing
the horse.
Yeah. Stealing one of the mounted police officers' horses.
Yeah, I think Tim McGraw.
Yeah.
And Chesney was there, too.
So that New Hampshire primary last night, Haley did not drop out. She did not win. They called it pretty quickly, but it wasn't as big a separation as we saw in Iowa. So from the latest numbers I'm seeing, Trump got 54.59% of the vote. Haley gets 43.17% of the vote.
Okay.
And that was the nation's first primary, right? Because Iowa was a caucus. And CNN was covering this last night, and they do these exit polls, you know, where they talk to people about how they voted, how they had planned to vote as they leave the polls, exit polls. And what they found was with New Hampshire's primary system, and something we talk about a lot down here with open primaries is how many Democrats actually voted for Nikki Haley? Because it appeared that a lot of definite Republicans went out and voted for Trump. Well, CNN was breaking this down with their exit polling. I think this was Jake Tapper, and he was talking to one of their election nerd gurus last night during the primary. Here it is.
So back to David Chalian with that. And David, you're getting more on the ways that Republican primary voters don't see eye to eye?
Yes, that's right, Jake. In these exit poll results, you see a Mars and Venus universe for Haley and Trump coalitions here. Take a look at the numbers. Among Trump voters, 70% of them, according to our exit polls, are registered Republicans. Donald Trump, his support, 27% of his voters are registered undeclareds or independents. 3% were unregistered before today. Look at how that compares with Nikki Haley. It's a complete reversal. It's an alternate universe. Among Haley voters, 70% are registered undeclareds. Only 27% are registered Republicans. Hmm. We also see this with when asking people, did Joe Biden legitimately win the 2020 election? Which he did. Among Trump voters, 80% say no. They say it wrongly. No, Joe Biden did not legitimately win the 2020 election. Haley voters, it's the complete opposite. 83% of Haley voters say correctly that Joe Biden was the legitimate winner in 2020. Only 15% of her voters say wrongly that he was not. This is the Trump-Haley-Mars-Venus election tonight in New Hampshire.
So, and I love that he had to say, which it wasn't stolen. how about that difference? You could, you know, make up your own mind. All of the independents in New Hampshire, did they show up and vote Haley, or do you think there was probably a lot of Democrat votes sprinkled in there?
I would say Democrat votes. And 40% of that state declared himself as independent?
I guess, if that was the stats he laid out there.
That's what I... I think it was in my three big things story.
How about 80%?
It's an unusual state. You know what I mean?
80% of the Trump voters saying that Trump was the real winner of the 2020 election.
Yeah.
While only 20% of the Haley voters said the same thing.
Venus and Mars. 8:30 FM Talk 106.5. Dan and Dalton. Good morning. Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. It is 8:35.
Mornings. Big day ahead of us here at FM Talk 106.5. As you got Jeff Porcheau on the way, and we'll talk with Jeff before his show, as we do every Wednesday. Then Midday Mobile, I will be live from Ed's Seafood Shed, the new one over in Spanish Fort. And that'll take you into Scuttlebutt Network at 1 o'clock today. Now, tonight, there's two things going on. Big basketball game with the Alabama Crimson Tide hosting the number 8-ranked Auburn Tigers.
Auburn's having a great year.
They are. And Bama's actually favored in the home game in Tuscaloosa. 3.5-point favorites for the Tide. But that game tips off at 6:30 this evening. So there will be a pregame show beginning at 6 o'clock. And you can hear the Auburn call right here on FM Talk 106.5. Now, at the same time that that's playing on the air, Jeff Poor, Sean Sullivan, and WKRG's Peter Albrecht will be moderating a debate for the newly redrawn AL District 1 between Jerry Carl and Barry Moore. They are set to debate tonight in the Daphne Civic Center. Now, that starts at 6. I believe they've got like a pre-debate meet and greet that begins around 4 o'clock this afternoon. Again, yeah, at the Daphne Civic Center. As far as watching it live, if you can't make it there in person, they will have the Baldwin County GOP streaming it live on their Facebook page, and then we will also share that so you can watch it live on our Facebook page, and then we will re-air the debate in its entirety at some point later today on or later this week on Midday Mobile. 8:36, right now it's time to head over to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, we're doing great. Got a wet week ahead of us. Already some rain on the roads, and that means accidents happen. And if an accident does happen, the McConnell Body Shop is the place to be.
That's right, man. We got a great body shop. We're going to expand it a little bit in the future here. So we're going to take care of all your insurance needs. Thomas and all the guys and the girls back there, just give them a call, 251-476-4141. Like I said, hope everybody be careful out there, but if you do have that unfortunate accident, just give them a call. And then if the car is total, McConnellAutomotive.com or McConnellAutomotive.com if y'all want to just check out the car and the nice dryness of your home.
Mm-hmm.
You need a new car to buy. You know, we got plenty of vehicles out there, so y'all check those out. Got some low interest rates and got a great selection. So just come by beautiful Midtown on Dolphin Street, east of I-65. We'll be here. Got a couple of Hummers in the other day, so got a few of those here if y'all want to come check those out. And we'll be here all day today.
All right. Good stuff. Thank you, Louie.
Hey, thank y'all.
That's Louie Arata. Go see him at McConnell Buick GMC. They're located on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65. And that website, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Been holding on to this for a few days. Can I hit this real quick, the World Health Organization, what they're doing here, Delta?
Please do.
All right, so anyway, Ghebreyesus, Director General Tedros Ghebreyesus.
Right. Tedros.
Tedros. He's called on countries to sign up to the Health Organization's Pandemic Treaty. So get everybody around, sign on the dotted line. So we can best prepare for disease X. Gabrielis is speaking in front of an audience at the World Economic Forum in Davos. Okay, he was part of that. So this was last week. But this, when this story came out, I was like, wait a minute here. He wants us to put all our faith into the World Health Organization.
Yeah.
Which I think, why would we after what we've been through?
Mm-hmm.
So disease X is a hypothetical placeholder. Virus that has not yet been formed, but scientists say it could form, and it could be 20 times deadlier than COVID-19. It's called disease X. It's not even out there yet. So it's a hypothetical disease.
It's TBD, to be determined.
To be determined, right. And so there are, and here's a quote from him, there are things that are unknown that may happen, and anything happening is a matter of when, not if. So we need to have a placeholder for that, for the diseases we don't know, Ghebreyesus says. We lost many people during COVID because we couldn't manage them. They could have been saved, but there was no space. I don't know. Okay. There was not enough oxygen. I don't know. So how can you have a system that can expand? Anyway, he's saying, please, everybody, sign up now to take our strong advice during the next COVID-like pandemic, or something that is even stronger than 20 times stronger.
Yeah.
So it's not, it hasn't happened yet.
They want total control.
Yeah.
They're trying to get ahead of it.
But it's almost next thing. It's almost so tone deaf.
But is it? I mean, it is for citizens.
Yeah.
But I think the elites would be fine with you know, passing that job off to somebody else. Let the WHO come up with all the ideas, and then we'll just follow. Now, I do know there was a treaty they were talking about that would be signed between the U.S. and some of these other first world nations with the WHO. And I remember they were saying that that would give the WHO full control over response to a pandemic like that. Now, as soon as that came out early last year, all of the different fact checkers, the AP, I'm looking at just a quick Google search. I've got AP fact check, PolitiFact, USA Today fact check, where they all came out and said it's false that this treaty that they're working on with the WHO, that it would not give away the U.S.'s sovereignty when it comes to dealing with that situation.
Yeah, how to respond to
it. So what does it tell you that all the fact checkers immediately came out and said it's not real? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'll let you determine it from there. But it is a big worry that the WHO would have more power than they did with COVID, considering how much and how badly they bungled that entire response.
Yeah, and just simply there's just you talk about a lack of trust in your institutions, you know, from everything from Harris and Montgomery, let alone the World Health Organization,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The governor, the health director of the state, you know, they're under fire from so many citizens for the role they played in the decisions that they made during COVID. Would we want to expand this out?
No.
I mean, in Montgomery, we can kind of handle in a way. We can go up and say, hey, cut it out.
Yeah. But when it's under a global umbrella.
Yeah, right.
With making the decision. Yeah, that's right. Something I'm not for.
Not
that's
down
for
with.
Sure. So Haley did not drop out of the race last night. I did want to play this as she talked about. Well, I want to play her and Trump because she came up first. Haley got on the stage. They called the win for Trump. And then Haley gets up. And, well, Trump took issue with that, which we'll get into later. But here's Haley last night after the loss in New Hampshire.
I want to congratulate Donald Trump on his victory tonight. He earned it. And I want to acknowledge that. Now, you've all heard the chatter among the political class. They're falling all over themselves saying this race is over.
It's not over.
It's not over. Jerry in the back.
Well, I have news for all of them. New Hampshire is first in the nation. It is not the last in the nation.
Cowbells.
This race is far from over. There are dozens of states left to go.
So, Haley.
You know, that audience sounded a little bit like the fake live audience during Benny and the Jets. Elton John's big hit in the 70s, which was a concocted fake audience.
Oh, you mean that wasn't recorded in a bar? I thought that it was.
No, it was not.
So Trump, he got up and raged on the stage after the win last night. He wasn't happy with how Haley came out after her loss was announced.
And today, I have to tell you, it was very interesting because I said, wow, what a great victory. But then somebody ran up to the stage all dressed up nicely when it was at 7. But now I just walked up and it said 14. But she ran up when it was 7. And, you know, we have to do what's good for our party. And she was up and I said, wow, she's doing like a speech like she won. She didn't win. She lost. And, you know, this is not your typical victory speech, but let's not have somebody take a victory when she had a very bad night. She had a very bad night.
And so he was kind of hung up on the fact that Haley jumped out there before he did.
But they weren't all in one place, right? I mean, that wasn't...
Just the same state.
Same state, they weren't, right. Not the same stage.
She didn't jump up there on his stage before he got up there.
Right.
Who knows what would have happened then? But I'm surprised. I guess Haley's going to stick it out. I thought maybe she would. I thought maybe she would jump out after losing New Hampshire, but that doesn't appear to be the case.
Yeah, she's ramping it up. She's ramping up the arguments against Trump. We played the audio earlier. Let me play one more time here with her talking about Donald Trump and yesterday's race. I think that's pretty much all she was talking. Let's remember here.
With Donald Trump, you have one bout of chaos after another. This court case, that controversy, this tweet, that senior moment. You can't fix Joe Biden's chaos with Republican chaos.
Okay, so yeah, she was just talking about all the baggage that is bound to come with Trump. And of course, you could say a lot of that baggage is unfounded, you know, with the charges against him that seem to be completely political.
Right.
But
baggage nonetheless.
Baggage nonetheless.
Yeah. Looking at the text line, and I do want to play Chuck Schumer and his war on Zen.
His war on Dalton.
The war on Dalton, the nicotine pouches.
I'm surprised he didn't come down on you because of your... in the beer transfer portal. That was a controversial move.
That was very controversial. Who could forget? I know Chuck Schumer did not forget that. Gene, our conversation with the WHO and giving them more power, said, wonder if you have vaccinated your children or are you anti-vax? Can I say both? Kids have been, we've gotten them the usual childhood vaccines. Mm-hmm. I have not given them the mRNA COVID vaccines, if that's what you're asking. But yeah, flu shots, generally, if we can remember, we get the flu shots. And they have gotten all the vaccines that allow them to go to school like a normal child.
That's right.
That's exactly right. Gardner says they're calling Haley the last man standing in case, let's see here if this will load, in case Trump can't run. That's what the Wall Street Journal is calling for this morning as well. They want Haley to stick it out, rack up whatever electorate she can. And then if Trump is disallowed for one reason or another, that she would be in line there before the RNC to just kind of swoop in and take the nomination. At least that's what Wall Street Journal is calling for. And Paul says they are teeing it up, aren't they? Yeah, if you mean the removal of Trump from the race so that Haley can slide right in, some people would say it does seem that way, that they're going to get their candidate on the Republican side for sure. And then Ricky says the government is replacing us while we do nothing, while y'all, FM Talk 106.5, do nothing. I think we've been talking about the border for quite some time, Ricky, so maybe come at us with something else. There's that.
Or just pipe down, Ricky.
Or just pipe down. So Chuck Schumer, Senate Majority Leader. I did not expect this. Now, I know they've gone to war with a lot of different things that I love over the years, but Zen, the nicotine pouches, which have taken America by storm, apparently Chuck Schumer is wanting to get in the way of that happening. This is a news report from an NBC affiliate in New York.
Majority Leader Chuck Schumer is calling for federal action to crack down on a product called Zen. He says the nicotine pouches pose a danger to teens as they use them as an alternative to e-cigarettes.
Pouch packed with problems, high levels of nicotine. So today I'm delivering a warning to parents, because these nicotine pouches seem to lock their sights on young kids, teenagers, and even lower, and then use the social media to hook them.
Senator Schumer is urging the FTC and the FDA to investigate Zen for concerns relating to marketing and health effects. We reached out to Zen for comment, but have not yet heard back.
So they're going after Zen the same way they did that vape company, Juul, remember?
Yeah.
They destroyed Juul because they said they were advertising to children.
Kids, right, making the product more kid-friendly.
I haven't noticed any direct advertising towards children with Zen or any of these other nicotine pouches, but it's kind of... Makes you think that maybe big tobacco got into Schumer's ear, whether it's the cigarette companies or Skoll in Copenhagen, even though they have their own brands or the companies that make them do, but said, hey, all these people are switching over to these nicotine pouches, which don't have the tobacco. They don't have a lot of the bad things generally affiliated with smoking or dipping or chewing.
They have nicotine.
They have just nicotine.
And what does it make you feel?
Well, I mean, nicotine can cause problems. There's no doubt. Blood pressure related. You can run into some issues. But it doesn't have what most of the other tobacco has, the cancer killers, the things that give you cancer.
Doesn't have that.
Not as much, or at least as far as I know.
Well, how does it make you feel? Like you want it. You grab it.
Well, it's nicotine. Nicotine's.
I've never smoked.
It kind of gives you a little boost. I would say a little uppity boost. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you have too much nicotine, it'll make your head swirl.
Mm-hmm.
But generally, people are taking these 3 gram or 6. And I'm not saying it's a good thing to go out and purchase it, but that is a losing proposition for the Democrats. If they want to go after nicotine pouches, and this is, you know, the Biden administration is going after menthol cigarettes too. So if there's one electorate they probably want to stay away from, the people that go out and buy nicotine pouches or cigarettes, they take that seriously. They might not vote for you solely because of that. That's if they go forward with it.
Very interesting take that there could have been big tobacco behind all that conversation.
I could see it for sure. Yeah. They've got to be losing money.
It's something that makes my head swirl, but please, Schumer, everybody in Washington, stay away from my vodka. It's 8:50. You're going to talk to Jeff on the way. Morning from Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwick, FM Talk 106.5 at 8:53.
I-10, a real problem this morning.
Oh, my gosh.
Really bad.
Bad. Baldwin County?
Yeah, that tractor trailer that jackknifed on the bridge that 59 runs underneath, that's a problem.
Wow.
Completely stopped now for over an hour.
He's in Baldwin County at the Fairhope Studios. Jeff Poore Show. He's on the way, but joins us now. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on,
sir. All right, Jeff, big day for you as, well, you've got your show coming up, which is, you know, the most important thing today is that Jeff has a good show. But then tonight, the debate, the AL1 debate between Barry Moore and Jerry Carl. I know you talked with Jerry yesterday. He said, he disputed that the mud was truly flying in that race, I guess. But that's tonight. So it'll be really interesting to see what they have to say standing across from one another.
Yeah, so then the hope is we'll get them to respond to one another, talk to one another, go get a little bit of an exchange. But, like, I don't foresee it being too ad hominem at all, actually, but they do want to draw differences and show differences and distinctions between one another.
Yeah, so, I mean, you can kind of picture how things are going to lay out. Jerry will probably go with his attack that Barry Moore is more of a shower than a doer, right? The show horse, and that he's up there just making waves by voting against things, not for things. And then Barry will say, well, Jerry has voted for some non-conservative items and bills, and he's clearly not as conservative as I am.
Yeah, and then and Barry will say, well, we've handled more constituent work twice as much as you. Like, I already know what they're going to say, and I don't think I'm giving too much away. But the show horse, workhorse thing, I think NDAA, obviously, this is where there's a real big difference here.
Yeah.
And this is the problem with these big omnibus bills. It allows, you can cherry pick against one another. So, this will be... But there's some real distinctions here between the two of them. The two I think that I would really key in on if I'm watching this tonight. And it'll be streaming on the Baldwin County Republican Party Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
But abortion, I think Jerry's a states' rights guy, and Barry Moore is just no abortion. So depending on where you line up on that. And then secondly, when we talk about, just defense priorities and bringing home the bacon and what an Alabama congressman ought to be doing, sort of that role.
Yeah, Ukraine is in there, right? With,
right, exactly.
Yeah. Defense. Yeah, right. You think you'll maybe get some questions through specifically about our area with the worry that we may get a congressman who's not as well versed in the Port of Mobile and how things work down here.
Yeah, and it goes both ways, right? Like, not as well versed in, I don't know, helicopters and peanuts or whatever it may be in the wiregrass. But yeah, absolutely. I think, Austell and the port and all of that is, but I'm going to tell you, I think that Barry Moore's kind of a different approach to this stuff, and that it's not about, like, who can bring home the most bacon. It's about saving the country and the trajectory the country's on.
Well, today on your show, you have Scott Buttram in hour number one from the Trustville Tribune. Also, Joey Clark from News Talk 93.1. And then to wrap it up in hour number three, former Congressman Parker Griffith for the Democrat response to the Jeff Poore Show. And also with the legislative session coming up, I know you talked about this some yesterday, but a new API poll out, so maybe not the most objective, but poll nonetheless, and they're saying people just don't care as much about gaming in the state of Alabama as others would have you believe.
Yeah, I think there's some truth to this. I do think people care. It would be for lottery, but it's not like it's not the issue. It's not like the border or the economy or whatever's on your mind. Maybe it's roads and bridges in this state and the gridlock we have in some places. that gambling's way, the enthusiasm gap is just really immense. And it's not like, oh my gosh, people just want to have a lottery. Well, maybe they do, but you know, if it doesn't happen, then life goes on.
Do you think if they just boiled it down to, do you want a lottery, that the response would be greater on one side or the other? Oh, say more pro-lottery rather than all this gaming that they're trying to figure out.
I think so, but it's just never going to happen. I mean, it's kind of a moot discussion because you can't do it in this state.
Yep. You sure can't. But anyway, we look forward to your discussions on the way, Jeff.
Yeah, some school choice, some gambling, and elections sprinkled in between. Mm-hmm. Busy time here in Alabama. Thanks, Jeff. We'll be tuning in just a few minutes.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Jeff Board, the Jeff Board Show, about 9:06 to 12 noon today.
Yep, and Midday Mobile follows live from Ed's Seafood Shed in Spanish Fort. Mobile Morning's back tomorrow morning at 6 on FM Talk 106.5.